Hello, Internet. I'm Ewan Spence.
I'm Monty Moncrief.
I'm Lisa Jane Lewis.
And this is your ESC Insight Daily Podcast backstage from an ice rink next to an arena that's going to host Eurovision. Good afternoon.
Good morning.
Good afternoon.
No, it's good evening at that
one. Oh.
There we go. But that's okay. That's fine. We're making it up as we go along. Welcome to the ESE Insight daily recap of what's happening backstage at Le Grand Prix Chanson de la Eurovision for whatever French for 2016 is.
De Mille says, you asked me this the last time and I'm not sure I got it right. I think that might be what it is.
Close enough. It's close. And if nothing else, it's a repeating joke.
Indeed.
The curse of the repeat. The curse of the repeating meme, or as we call it, Monty Moncrief.
Oh, thank you very much.
How's your Eurovision been?
It's been good, but it's sadly brief for me. I'm heading home tomorrow. I wasn't able to stay for the second week this year. So I've had the first week, and I've had first weekend, and I've had a really, really lovely time. I think the city's done us proud. There's been such a lot going on. The Euroclub is fantastic. I think they've done a really good job with the temporary structure there. Really nice atmosphere. Now that they've opened it up into the big hall, we had a concert there from Helena Paparizou last night. I've been waiting a long time to hear her sing Oppa Oppa Live and the light in Our Souls.
So you're happy about your Eurovision time?
I am very happy about my Eurovision time, yes.
Lovely. And of course, as one huge great character leaves Eurovision, another appears. A new person!
Hello, everyone.
Who are you? Introduce yourself, new person.
Who am I? I've been here 2 days and I've sort of forgotten who I am already. I am Lisa Jane. I'm with the Eurovision Ireland team. What else do you need to know about me?
Are you having fun yet?
I am having the most fun ever. This is my second day ever at Eurovision and it's been a blast and completely insane and wonderful and crazy and tiring all at the same time.
Yes, that pretty much sums it up, really.
Pretty much. Yeah.
That every year the adrenaline kicks in, the rush goes, you hear the music and you're away again for another season.
Absolutely. It's around this time that you do start to sort of flag a little bit. It's been a little bit of whiff of cabin fever in the press centre, I think, of the past day or so. But I'm making the most of it, though, because it is my last...
They give
my
6 days locked away, and then they go, you know what, you can go up the red carpet now. Try and look fashionable and sensible. Really? We'll just go to the bar. Right, what did we have today? We had the last of the technical rehearsals. The Big Five and our host Sweden take to the stage a second time to run through their performance, check camera angles, check lighting, just generally see what improvements they've made after having some time. They get 20 minutes on stage each, which generally is two run-throughs. Some of them have managed three, and this is pretty much the last chance to do any major experimentation. They have a dress rehearsal ahead of the grand final on Friday, where they get to sing the song once in order, and basically 30 seconds on to sing and get off again. So this is it. Whatever they decide after the rehearsal today, that's what they're going with. So this is as close as we're going to get to the final product. And we start off with Sweden, and it's a Sunday afternoon. France is 17, and he really doesn't want to be here.
Well, yes, that would be the feeling, wouldn't it? I have to say, my opinion on France's song this afternoon has completely changed from what it was before. Before, I was not that bothered by it. I didn't understand why people were liking it. I was like, meh, whatever. Having seen him do that, performances, those rehearsals earlier, I kind of like it now. I'm sort of ashamed to admit it, but I do.
And to be fair, there's not a lot that he needs to do. He won this with Melody Festival, and SVT pretty much know the camera angles. I didn't see much change between this and what we saw on Tuesday. This really was nothing more than a confidence check.
I think you're right. I mean, I wrote that on the blog earlier on. I think it's, as polished as it really needs to be. He's had all of the runs through in Melody Festival, and he's had all of the runs through here. And it's ready. I mean, SVT know what they're doing with this number. So, you know, it felt a little flat for me today, but that's, you know, it's second rehearsal. It really is just going...
Second rehearsal of a 17-year-old on a Sunday. He's like, I know how to do this. Why do I have to keep doing this? Why can't I go with Roy Delaney and watch the football? It's in the southernmost corner of Stockholm. It'd be a fun. Why do I have to be here? I don't want to. Oh, it's so unfair.
You're actually a teenager in disguise, aren't you?
Pretty much, yeah. And you know what? If this does what I think it's going to do, he's going to have to sing this song every week for the rest of his life.
Serves him right.
I can imagine him singing this at 47. I'm not sorry. He's just going to be so jaded.
Yeah, it's not going to work at that age, is it? So when you say singing it for the rest of his life, does that mean that you think it's going to win?
I think this is in with a really good shot. It doesn't match the demographic in the press centre, but this is aimed at the 14, 15-year-old market. It's proto Bieber. And, you know, there are shots in here where you're just going, there are going to be teenage girls all over Europe looking at him going, I can fix him. I just need time. And this is what I love about the fact that the first 2 minutes, you don't see the audience. You don't see the crowds. It's just him going, look at me. I'm kind of broken and I'm kind of sweet and in heart. And I think that's just going to break hearts. And they're just going to miss it a bit at the end. Where he goes, oh, like he needs a slap. Yes, I genuinely think that this is in with the shot. It's certainly top three. And with the demographic and with a bit of radio push, I think it can, yeah.
And they've been playing it on Radio 1, haven't they? Did I hear that in the UK?
Scott Mills played it once.
Oh, okay. Well, that's maybe not quite the same then, isn't it?
Not quite the same.
Radio 1 playlist.
No. You know, you look at the Radio 1 playlist, it's not updated. He's not there, you know?
No, because I did think when I said that, I was like, they're playing that on Radio... Radio 2, I could have kind of gone with that. It's got maybe a bit more of a Radio 2 vibe to it, but Radio 1?
I think it probably has a Radio 1 vibe, actually, yeah. I mean, I think that's the thing. Sort of, you know, it gets played once, but then every fan site repeats the news, so it feels like it's sort of, you know, more saturated than it is. I'm quite pleased if I'm sort of, you know, coming into that young demographic, because I really like it. I really think it's, I think it's got a great chance. I've said all along, since I saw it in Melody Festival, I thought this might be the one to beat. And, yeah, I mean, after today, there's a little bit of shifting around. I'm maybe not as confident as I was with that.
As we know, it's running ninth. I think that's his biggest thing. If this had rolled in at about 17th or 18th, this would be deadly. At the moment, it's challenging.
Yeah, I think the position is a challenge for it. But I think it's got the strength. I mean, I like the fact, as you say, you're not going to see the audience for the first couple of minutes. And then he walks out onto the satellite stage and there is going to be that kind of sort of, you know, eruption from the home crowd. I mean, it's going to be such a lot of support.
Essentially, he's taking the same staging that got Anna Bergendahl to win Melody Festival in.
Well,
in the Globen.
Yeah, at least he's in the final.
Wow. In fact, of course, Sweden is a host, and the big five countries, all the ones that we just keys here, are all direct into the final for various reasons. And let's save just for some of those countries. I bet they're very glad that they're going straight into the final, because I don't think many of these would qualify direct, as they would say. Let's move on to France. My opinion on let's go to Amir, who is singing for France. Let's just be slightly clearer. France. It's not on. This is like the UK calling their lead singer San Marino. Dan Marino singing for the UK. Nobody else is going to get that reference. Anyway, France and Amir.
It's not helped that when you Google translate anything about France, the Swedish contestant, it Google translates as the Frenchman instead of just leaving his name as France. So it gets very, very confusing.
So, Amir, I thought he just lost the edge here. He's walking out to the satellite stage now. Yeah. He is singing the song. He's not performing a piece of musical theatre. And this, I think this song just needs a little bit more storytelling to it, rather than just, look at me, I look kind of nice and I can smile.
I would agree with that, actually. I was hoping that they didn't throw any bells or whistles at it and get, you know, women out in sort of flimsy dresses that were in the...
I did think that they were going to bring the female box and the male gymnast from the video. Thankfully, they didn't go for that idea. Instead, they've got the opening credits from Sapphire and Steel.
Yeah, it is a little bit loud. There's lots of sort of planetary backdrops, and there's a moon that sort of zooms in under his feet at one point, so he's standing on the moon, a bit like the sort of, you know, the cover of Le Petit Prince or something like that. But I think it's almost too simple. I didn't want it to be overblown, but I think they've maybe pulled it back a little bit too much. It's I felt it didn't have the energy, but yet in his press conference, I went to a press conference because I thought it'd be more interesting than watching Germany, and I was right. he was saying that he's quite pleased with this, with the staging of it.
I wonder if the French delegation basically got cold feet and went, let's just keep it simple, and they've overcompensated.
Yeah, that may well be a possibility. I kind of agree with you, Monty. I think that they've gone a bit too simple with it. There's a couple of things I definitely want to say about it, one of which has fallen out of my brain. The other one was, so they've got their backing singers stashed up on, we've nicknamed it the shelf. There's like a shelf on the right-hand side of the stage, and there's quite a lot of delegation, or it's quite a lot of performers that have their backing singers stashed up on the shelf. I actually think it would have been quite good to have the backing singers on the stage, because it would have just added a little bit more real life. But I really like the video element of the song. I like the stars, I like the moon bit, I like the planets flying. I was quite impressed with that. I liked it. And we all saw, you know, vocally in run through 2 and 3, Amir was not on it today. But as I said, I was live on Periscope at that point, and people were, as always, going, oh, he can't sing.
It's a rehearsal. He could still be going through
exactly
the motions. But the staging, that is on top.
That's what I was saying. It's a rehearsal. This is not the performance, so you can't judge it based on that. I was like, you know, I'm a singer, my goodness. You don't want to hear half of the rehearsals I do. They're hideous. But that's not the point of this rehearsal. This rehearsal is for camera angles, for the technical stuff, for the lighting, for all the final last-minute things. It's not about the vocal.
Yes, Eurovision Song Contest does have song there, but it also has vision.
It was interesting, actually, in the press conference, the French head of press was saying that, you know, in a rehearsal, it's almost like a chef that's bringing the ingredients together and trying things out, and it's not meant to be a finished product. And it does. I mean, it still amazes me almost that sometimes we get to see these early rehearsals as press, because, you know, it must be really tough, because they're going out there and, you know, people are commenting on them as if they are the finished package. And, you know, that's just clearly not the case. So I was quite pleased to see them pick up on that.
Yeah, it's a curious balance, because it creates so much visibility for the song contest in the 2 weeks running up to it that it's a huge benefit PR-wise to the contest. It certainly pulls back on certain delegations. And yeah, there is a lovely argument that maybe we shouldn't see Tech 1, and we should only see the final run-through in Tech 2, because that really protects the artist. But at the same time, the contest itself then loses 10 days of really cheap social media PR publicity. It's losing billions of engagements. So
absolutely,
it's a really curious balance of how do you balance the needs of one song against the entire contest.
That, and I heard in Dami Im's press conference the other day, that the other guy from Australia, what's his name, Peter somebody, he was saying how actually they've quite valued looking at what we've been putting out, because that's helped to inform them in the difference between run through one and run through two, rehearsal one and two. That's helped them to look at different aspects that they maybe hadn't noticed, that were suddenly, you've got a room full of people here. Yeah.
We can go
up
in depth on this.
Yeah.
It's huge, and it's a discussion that I believe happens every single year.
Sure. Yes.
New people coming, go, why are we showing them how it all works? And the answer is because we want everybody to watch the two.
Exactly.
We want to be able to say we've got 200 million viewers for the actual show and everything.
Definitely.
Right.
Let me add one more thing about Amir, because I thought of what my final point was. I think that is the song. I think Amir himself and that song will come alive when there is an audience of people in that room. I think Amir is a crowd performer. And
it's
I think
Dao Bob, and there's
I
a couple of others that I think need that. And to a certain extent, Dami Im, I think, needs to feel some love as well.
I think that's absolutely true, and I think that is the key missing element of France, and actually of Spain, who I know we're
they should just let us all into the auditorium then. There we go, we can sort that's not a problem. We've got a press room here, we can put it right underneath the stage. Yeah, let's do Germany next.
Germany.
Monty.
Germany. Well, how can I be kind?
Don't. You're not here to be kind, and you're leaving now, and you're never going to be back in the press centre, and you'll never see her again.
But
go for it.
I do want to come back next year, though. I think the song is just very ordinary. I think I don't want to be critical of her as an artist. I mean, she's a young woman. But I think she's a little bit, her style is maybe more than her substance. I got the feeling that the Germans sort of went with her because she'd been in the... Was she in the X Factor or The Voice?
Yeah, she was in Germany's Got the Britain on Ice Talent Skating Voice Talent Factor.
With bells and whistles on, yeah.
And pandas.
So, I mean, I think, you know, she's creating an image, and I quite like that she's bringing that authenticity of her to the contest. But I just feel like they went for it because it was something they knew and were familiar with. But that there's no advantage of that when you get to the international
stage. The issue is in a national final where you're 100% televote and you have somebody who is from the reality TV, and Jamie Lee Curwitz stormed that week after week for months. She was on German television as "Look at me, I'm winning." And then you put her in a national final and lo and behold, people go, "Oh, there's Jamie Lee. She's winning." So this is where a jury comes in useful to help sort of dull down that sort of spike. And to the same sense, I think that's why we have Joe and Jake for the UK. They were on The Voice. They had a built-in constituency that would vote for them. The other five didn't. We'll come on to that for many, many months as we break that down. Germany's issue is the same issue that I think that that Joan Franca had with the Netherlands, which is there's a very strong artist who wants a specific look. In the case of Joan Franca, it was, "I want the Indian headdress." And here with Jamie Lee, she wants that Eastern look. Joan Franca had a lovely look in the Amsterdam preview concert where it was just a single feather in her hair, which to me was like, great, you styled yourself for everybody to be accessible, but you've kept something of you in there. And I wish that that she'd brought that to Baku. She didn't. She went with the full headdress and didn't qualify. It's the same with Jamie Lee. Have the panda look. Have something in there. Have something that is you. But remember, you've got to appeal to people over 3 minutes, not 3 months.
Can I disagree with you two boys?
Yes, you can.
I love this song. I've loved this song since I first heard it after the selection. It's been on my playlist forever. I've shared it with all sorts of friends and my friendship group really love it. And I'm very much in that group of people who absolutely love this song. I love Jamie Lee. I love the manga mixed with Tim Burton meets gothic. I love it. It's just... so it's different and quirky, and I really, really love the look of it. I love the green lasers that come off of the trees in the. I think it's great, and I like that not much has changed since the national selection. But I'm firmly in that group who knows we're kind of a small select cult who love it, but it's not gonna achieve anything.
I think the song is.
Anyway.
I think the song is gorgeous. I love the topic of the song. I love what it means, and it's got almost an M. Night Shyamalan. Once you work out what's actually happening, it's like I've got to listen to this again, and it has so many layers, and it is such a subtle song. That I think that Jamie Lee drowns out that subtlety, and this song needs the subtlety. I can't remember if I said this in the podcast before. I'd really like to hear somebody like Stevie Nicks sing this song.
My one criticism of it is I think Jamie Lee is too young for this song. That would be my one criticism of it. I like I say, I love her look, I love her style, I love the way that she's been true to herself, that she is her own artist. At that age, she knows who she is, she knows what she wants to do. But that's my one concern about this, is that she's just 10 years too young to be singing this song.
Let's move on to Spain, and spoiler alert, they're trying to do classic British slapstick. But the problem with British, this is halfway through, she falls, and this is it. She's got to get the audience on side for me. The choices are, the audience can either feel that they've been fooled, or they're joining in with Barai fooling the production team. You've got to make your audience feel good about your song and about yourself. And this fall that she engineers, at the moment, feels like that she's fooling the audience at home. And it wouldn't take much. The camera shot where she looks up again, she just needs to throw the great big Anne Robinson wink. Just a, see, I've got them. The audience suddenly come on side. They're supporting Barai. She's like, oh, look at that. Hey! I sound like Roy Delaney there. My apologies. Instead, she looks at the camera as if to say, gotcha. And that emotional play, I think, undoes everything engaging about the song.
Well, I think that what they're going for in that moment is almost a Lil Linfus gasp moment. You know, when her frock got caught and in the unscripted part of the 1985 contest, which to this day is a classic piece of Eurovision memory. And I think they're almost going for that kind of sort of, you know, intake a breath from the audience, what's happened, and then, you know, oh, actually, I'm okay, it's a part of the song.
Which, to be fair, she got in the press room. The first run through in the first rehearsal yesterday, Nailed it. Now, yeah, she's got her hair. It looks a bit old hat.
Yeah.
She's got to sell it. She's got to keep the audience on side.
She does have to. And I think she's doing that, actually. I was very surprised by this today. It's a song that I'm finding really difficult to categorise or to place. I could see it in any position from first to last and anywhere in between and justifying every one of those positions. But I
can justify 14th.
Well, okay. But you know what I mean? It's kind of... It could finish anywhere. And I can't really work out how it's going to go. This is going to be one where, when the voting starts, I'm going to be keeping an eye on this to see whether she's pulled it off or not. It was much more energetic today on stage. It was much more engaging than I've seen it yet. So, yeah, good for me.
I wasn't in Dan with this song at all. I saw Bray at London Eurovision Party, liked it from there. And came in today expecting to like it again because I've been listening to it over and over again, and I felt it was a little bit flat today. You said there was more energy. I felt it was a little bit less energy, but maybe they're not putting so much energy into it. It's a tech rehearsal.
It's also the second day. Spain, yeah. You know, Spain did this yesterday and today. Sweden, for example, got to come in on Tuesday. You had to come in early because you had to go to school, and got all the way through to coming in on Sunday. So again, it's a rehearsal.
Exactly.
But you know, you can't change camera angles. You can work out your pantomime. You can step through your movements. Italy. Again, rehearsed yesterday, rehearsed today. Not a lot of time to make changes. Obvious changes were in the costuming. Francesca's a dungarees kind of girl. She's went for something just a little bit more... Look at me, I'm trying to describe fashion. I've got Lisa on the podcast. This is just embarrassing. Yes, please.
It's not a kilt.
Yeah, it's black, it's got holes in it, it's lazy.
Let me just say one thing about that. She's looked great at both rehearsals. Where I have said, I can just see her over the corner of your shoulder while I'm talking about her.
She's in a Mini the Minx red and black dress.
She is in a Mini the Minx red and black number. Where I've seen her look the absolute most gorgeous was at London Eurovision Party, where she was in a cream pantsuit, all-in-one jumpsuit, and it looked great. And I would have loved to have seen that actually on stage. I'm not sure that the black with the colour, for me, I would have liked to have seen her in something, a lighter colour. I think that would have complemented the staging, which is phenomenal.
If memory serves me right, she was in a white dress that reached the floor. It's the best you're going to get when she came second in San Remo and won the ticket to come to Eurovision. So she has done that before in a competitive environment. But again, I would have expected to try a couple of different outfits on the camera test, and we haven't seen that.
No, we haven't. I would have liked to see her try a couple of different colours because, you know, I'm not convinced about black on her. I'm not sure it's her colour. That's, you know, that's
black, definitely Monty's colour though.
Indeed it is. But yes, onto the clothes. No, I thought she looked elegant yesterday. I quite like the sort of the white with the dungarees on top. But I think they've staged this beautifully. I mean, it's just sort of surrounded by a selection of oddments with sort of garden themes as plants, as flower pots. There's yesterday there were some 3D glasses. They've removed something that looked a bit like a dead pigeon.
And a rubber duck.
There's a
rubber duck still there.
I hope the rubber duck's still there. I was in the arena for it, so I can get a close view, but the dead pigeon I think was a good thing to get rid of. But I just think they've got a sort of a ripple effect on the screen, some graphics on the screen at some points, and I just think it's really lovely, it's really beautiful. And when it kicks into that English section,
I love that moment.
Builds so well. I mean, it doesn't always work when you switch languages in a song, but this just seems to add an extra layer because the lyrics are so good in Italian, and you get a sense of how good they are in English as well.
It's that point where you're thinking the song just needs an extra bit of energy to get into the last minute. She switches into English, and it's such an addictive line. It's, you know, no degree of separation, no degree of hesitation. I mean, that's in my brain. That hooked in the second I heard the dual language version. In the same way that Sweden's Franz. Mm-hmm. You don't see the audience until that 2 minute mark when you need, oh, this song needs a bit more energy, the audience appears. And there's going to be a great big groundswell. And that is writing and designing your show to the stage and to the environment. It's very well. I still come back to I think this song is too pretty and too delicate to actually be a contender for the very top. But I think in terms of artistry and presentation, I think it does wonderfully. This is jury catnip, but I don't think the public are going to go for it in enough numbers.
Do do you not? It's definitely a jury number, isn't it? I think there'll be enough people out there to give this a good placing. I really do.
I would say this is top 10.
Oh, it definitely. I would be so far as to put it in top 5. I think it's just fantastic. Absolutely brilliant. And the staging of it, it tells the story. I've done a series on Eurovision Ireland about staging and how the staging helps and tells the story of your song. And this one for me this year is the one that where the staging tells the story. She's on an island. She's separated. There's water all around her. You can't get to her. Okay, it's digital water, but it
doesn't matter. It's a symbol you need.
Yeah, it just works perfectly. I'm more in love with this song now than I was before.
And so we move on to the United Kingdom. Joe and Jake, or as they had their labels in the press conference, Jake and Joe. And I know it's a silly little thing, but it is the attention to detail that wins you Eurovision. And it's the attention to detail all over the contest. And Chris, I know you're going to listen to this in about June or July. You should have switched the name tags over, because now everybody thinks that they're Jake and Joe, Joe and Jake, and we don't know which one is which. It is a very tiny, tiny thing. And I know it's a nitpicking, and I know it's a horrible fan thing, but the attention to detail across the staging, in the press conference, it's just missing.
But there's a lot bringing on the stage, though, I think, you know, and that's what we should focus on, because that's what people are going to be voting on. I thought the BBC has actually done a really good job of this. I know that there's been a sort of running theme on the podcast of the BBC's presentation, and I would agree that I don't think it's always been got right in the past, but I think they've done it really well with this. It's very simple. There's two drummers on stage. There's the boys centre stage and the backing vocalists off stage. And it's kind of a stadium presentation. It's that big song, but it's there's some rustling in the background. I hope that's not picking up on the audio. It's a big stadium song, but it also works on TV. Really nice colours, some really nice sort of laser effects or beam effects on the lights, which are a bit like Soft Engine had in Copenhagen, which is something that I thought that I hoped that they would bring to this. It had a really nice impact there. And it just fills the arena. A few pyros. Thankfully, they didn't seem to go into Jake's eye today on the first rehearsal. He seemed to get a splash of pyro in his eye at the end of it. But no, I think they've done a really good job. I like it. Realistically, we'd be lucky to come 15th because of what else is around it to be voted for.
In that press conference, I came out of it, didn't I? Straight away, I came out of it and I said, you had to hold me back from going up and swapping those name tags around, because I just really wanted to go and do it for them. I was like, this is wrong, stop it. Anyway, beyond that, first time I've seen the song. I hadn't seen any of the video from the little clips that had come out from the first rehearsal. First time I saw it today, and the first time I saw the selfie thing, which turned out to be okay. I'm kind of down with it. I think it's good. I like the song. The song is radio friendly. The song I think will get some votes. I agree with Monty. I can't see it any higher than 15th. Because I don't think there's enough in it to grab people and make them want to pick up the phone. But I think there will be some people who do. But And to be honest, my goodness, if we're coming anywhere near 15th, that's a massive improvement for the BBC. They'll be well happy with that. Well happy.
I think my views on what I think of the BBC song and the presentation were pretty clear on the podcast yesterday. But just to summarise, just to make sure that we have the flow, I think the song is solid, if not above average. And I think in a radio contest, we'd be top 5 or top 10 out of that. I think Joe and Jake are doing the best that they can, given their age and their experience. It's just the machinery and everything around it. And yes, we have all of these lovely effects on stage, but they don't join up. It's kind of like a poor man's Russia. Russia's got some great visual effects, but they don't bind together to tell a story in the way that, say, something like Belarus does or Iceland does. I think it's the same with the UK. They're putting on a stadium presentation of a live music show, whereas most people who vote consume music through YouTube and experience music as live music video. So when you have a live music video, and Italy is a good example here of, we're just singing the song, but we can tell the story. And to a certain extent, Germany is as well. Solo singer tells a story. The UK sings a song and you can see the band. I don't think that that's what attracts votes at Eurovision anymore. And that's the thing. There's no call to action in here to pick up the phone. So we'll get Not Bad on the Jury. We'll get people who just got a like those chaps, who've met, maybe seen them through the preview parties and are engaging with them online. That's great. But in the sort of, can we really push up the table? I think if we get up to 15th, it's more going to be by chance and other songs falling back than an actual positive impact that the presentation has had.
Well, we tried telling the story on stage last year in Electro Velvet's presentation, and that didn't really work out.
To be fair also, though, the performers and all that didn't have an opportunity to make eye contact for 1 minute and 20 seconds. And if you're going to tell a story, you need to engage quickly. So it didn't work last year, but I don't think that we can then throw out the baby with the bathwater.
I agree with that, but I mean, what's the story in this song? There's a lot of interpretations in this song.
And it would be nice if they'd chosen one of them.
Well, yeah. But I think the one they're choosing is the kind of sort of, you know, the laddish, mateish, almost a bromance kind of thing, of the two guys being best friends. And I think they're sort of, you know, the energy that they're putting out there, the way they're trying to say that. I don't really know how this could have been staged other than that kind of sort of...
Do you remember that duet in Melody Festival and in 2013?
Which
one of them? We'll dig out the video afterwards. They could have staged it like that.
Okay.
There's a number of ways that they could have done it. So, first of all, Joe and Jake could make eye contact and hold it for more than half a second. That would be a start. They could return the cuddle at the end to each other, so it's not just one of them doing Sandy and Grace. Oh, can't do that. Yes, there are many interpretations. I wish they'd chosen one of them and went with it. We're going round in circles, so we'll stop there, and we will just go with the brand new tradition of the podcast. Dun, dun, dun.
Hashtag checked in, because when I was sitting this afternoon, my phone app for British Airways popped up with my check-in and boarding card for tomorrow afternoon for my flight home. So I'm already... I was a bit upset that it was rubbing it in a little bit that I'm going home. So my hashtag is hashtag checked in.
For me, it's hashtag red carpet, because that's what's happening next, and we can look at all the delightful frocks. Now we'll go, it's a frock. It's a frock. It's a suit. It's a frock.
I'll take over when the red carpet comes. Yeah,
please do, yes.
My hashtag for the day will be hashtag intrigued, because I think we've seen some things today that haven't been, some vocals that haven't been right, some things that haven't been on form, and I'm just intrigued to see how that comes out on Saturday night. So hashtag intrigued.
Indeed. So there we go. And actually, we want to see how they come out on Friday night, because half the scores are done on the Friday night. If you wait until Saturday, you know, that's the Engelbert Humperdinck approach. Remember, everybody, you score on Friday and Saturday. Bring the A game. Make sure you go for the high notes. Otherwise, you'll be blue. Literally, you would be blue. Thank you very much to my guest, Monty Moncrief.
Thank you very much. And I hope everybody has a really lovely rest of the time. Those of you who are in Stockholm and everybody at home, I hope you have a fantastic Eurovision as well.
So are you going to carry on blogging when you get home?
I'm probably not going to have very much time. I'm going home. Part of my work has won an award.
Are you going to see the Queen or something?
Well, I am going to see the Queen, actually. Yes, now that you mentioned
it. Oh, there's the name falling down to the floor. Oh, no, it's a different name. This one says Downing Street.
I'm going to Downing Street as well, yes. Very lucky to be going there through. But no, next week I've got 3 days on a leadership programme, which is part of the prize that my charity has won. And then during the second semi-final, I'm going to be at the Science Museum collecting the award and a sizeable cheque for my charity.
So mention the charity as well, because there'll be a lot of people listening who... could be useful for.
Indeed, we're a charity called London Friend. We work with lesbian, gay, bisexual and trans people in the UK, providing health and wellbeing support.
Lisa's taking over. You're here now for the end of it, right through for the duration.
You lucky people. Here I am.
Are we?
Yes.
Yeah. We're lucky. Thank you. Yeah.
You have to say that. I'm sat right here. But we're going to miss Monty. Oh, we love you, Monty.
Thank you.
Tumbleweed there. Lisa, working with Eurovision Ireland.
Yes, working with Eurovision Ireland. My first year with them, my first 2 days with them. This is my first time actually at Eurovision. I'm loving it. And this will be my first red carpet. You're going to have to scrape me up off the floor later, because I'm going to be that overcome with it all.
As always, you can find more details, news and adventure and excitement back at ESCinsight.com. I'm Ewan Spence. We've had Lisa. We've had Monty. Thanks very much for listening. Only remains for Lisa to do the traditional end for the show. Go.
Yeah, you're so funny, because you never told me what that is.
We never tell anybody, but you're gonna have to work it out now. Mike's live.
Oh, you're so mean. I'll go with goodbye, everyone. See you soon.
No, try again.
Help me, Monty.
It's the guitars.